Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The latest tips and equipment to improve your game. The latest from the leaderboards and your favorite courses. This is Golf in the Northwest, an action-packed hour about everything golf. Now, here's your host for Golf in the Northwest, Jason Swigert.
And a fine good morning to you all on this Father's Day weekend. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Whether you're new at it, like Will is over there, or whether you've been doing it for a long time, like Papa Swag.
Yeah. What's up with the Father's Day? You gonna get out on the... Out on the course?
Maybe early tomorrow morning to see how things go. Part of that will be about the weather. We're supposed to get a little rain rolling in Monday, tomorrow and Monday.
So I've heard. That's why we're going to the zoo today.
Yes. Yeah, so now you have Father's Day number two. Father's Day number one was pretty new. Not too much you could do, just enjoying... understanding what fatherhood's all about.
Yeah, we didn't do a thing. I mean, it was more just like, oh, it's Father's Day?
There you go.
Okay. Hey, can I get a nap?
Yeah. Can I get a nap? Can I get a picture? Just a picture to send out everybody. So now we're waddling and weeble wobbling around. So off to the zoo, huh?
Off to the zoo it is. That's okay. What it is. He's running. He's full on sprint. Finley is now able to run. Like, legit run. He still holds his arms up a little bit with the elbows at 90 degrees.
So nice touchdown pose.
Yeah, it's either a touchdown pose or it looks like he's really excited about getting to something.
Now, have we learned to brace those arms forward when we lose our balance?
No.
Oh, sweet.
The knees are just...
Knees and chin?
Oh, it's just a skinned-up mess.
Fantastic.
It's great, though.
Be very curious to hear next week what the favorite animals were. What we gravitated to. I remember taking young Paxton one time to the zoo. I think he was still in the stroller. I can't remember if he was walking yet, but he was tired. He was in the stroller at that point. Went over to the orangutan exhibit in the big primate pen.
Yeah, they're awesome, dude.
And Mr. Orangutan and Mrs. Orangutan started to get a little randy.
That's great. That's great. It's nature. That's what they
Mrs. do. Mrs. Orangutan could not have looked more disinterested.
You know what?
If Mrs. Orangutan had a watch, she just like, you done yet?
You know what, though? This is, and I'm not going to derail too much because I know that we got the U.S. Open.
We got a lot to get to. Ricky Fowler is 36 holes away from his first major, which could be
something crazy.
The best story out of this.
But look. Animals and the way they do their
business.
Expression of love.
Well,
is
but
far
is it
more
really
real
emotion,
than like
it...
what you're thinking of with humans?
Is it just instinct and?
Oh, it's just like, hey, this is great. She's probably just sitting there like, this is good. I'm just going to enjoy this.
Could not have looked more disinterested.
What were you expecting?
I don't know, but not
exactly.
That. Yeah. So we'll see what young Finley gets to experience at the zoo today.
Monkeys having sex, perhaps.
Perhaps. It happens. Yeah. So, but again, happy Father's Day. Hopefully you've got a round planned for your dad or with your kids, whatever the case may be. The weather has been outstanding. I was out at Forest Hills Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. 3 days, three rounds. It was great. Got progressively better every day. Repetition, practice does make a difference. Getting those feels, as they say, back. Even for Hacks, I'm going to break 80 this summer. We got it. We started at 91. We were 84 in day three, and that was still with a couple of three putts and
congrats,
a double.
Man. That's great.
So we're getting there. Going to get some help. We're watching the U.S. Open. L.A. Country Club, the Open has not been played in Los Angeles in 75 years when they played it at Riviera. So L.A. Country Club hosting for the first time this gem, obviously, ultra, you know, private country club. You saw Lionel Richie's biggest state there off one of the holes. So that's what we're talking about right there next to Beverly Hills. Course is getting a little bit of, there's a lot of shock and awe when it came out. We're having a 300-yard par three. What are we doing? But then Ricky and Xander Schauffele go out and set U.S. Open records with 8-under-62s in the first round, and everybody says, well, this isn't worthy of a U.S. Open course. I think the afternoon rounds yesterday when the sun came out and it dried up and it firmed up and you started to see guys making doubles, triples, and quads. Now, I think if they can get a little bit of sun, it looks like it's sunny. The marine layer is not there. The leaders aren't teeing off till like 3:30 this afternoon. So this course has a chance to get a little bit of baked, as they do in Southern California from time to time. And so I think we'll see the teeth of it today. And today I think is going to be more about holding on, hitting those fairways. We'll hear comments from a lot of the players post-round. You have a great, great leaderboard with big names. Guys that have done it before, guys are looking to break through for the first time. We got a local player or player with local ties in Wyndham Clark who's flying under the radar with all the big names up there. He got his first win earlier this season, so it should be a lot of fun. John Cuoso, who's the director of golf out at Pumpkin Ridge, is going to join us at 8:30 in the business of golf. Going to help us with all the rescue shots. We saw Ricky hit it in a ravine next to a bridge in round one, and he got out of Dodge. We saw 18th hole on the first round where Rory totally whiffed sitting in that Bermuda rough. We saw DJ make a quad to start round two. So how do you go about, you know, when you're playing courses like this? I know a lot of courses around this time in the area that kind of maybe do a members tournament where they set it up with U.S. Open conditions, try to make the greens super slick, maybe narrow the fairways, let that rough grow out, whatever the case. So when you got rescue shots out at Forest Hills where I play, if you hit it sideways, you're probably under a tree. So how then do you practice keeping it low so you can get out of trouble and get back in the fairway? John's going to give us some thoughts on how to approach those shots and what you can do to practice so that you're ready for them when you have that one hole at your course that just you always say don't hit it there and you end up hitting it there. So plenty to get to today. Let's get started as we always do by going inside the ropes.
It's time for an insider's look at the leaderboards, the latest on all tours, plus local golf events and golf news. This is Inside the Ropes, part of Golf in the Northwest.
Three tours we are keeping an eye on today. The Korn Ferry Tour is in action. Those Korn Ferry players that did not qualify for the U.S. Open in action. They are in Wichita, Kansas at the Crestview Country Club for the Kansas Blue Cross Blue Shield Wichita Open benefiting KU Wichita Pediatrics. That fits nicely on a billboard. Par 70, 6,910 yards, and they are going low. They set a record. It's the lowest 36-hole cut score in Korn Ferry Tour history at 135, 5 under 79 pros. Unfortunately, our man, Alistair Dougherty, had a tough start, even par in the first round, had a 362nd in the second round, but did not make the cut. And he's hovering around there about round 100 on the points list. And so continues to get himself in, just hasn't had that breakthrough yet. But all eyes are on Adrien Dumont de Chassert out of Belgium, fresh off his collegiate career. So he wrapped up playing in the NCAA tournament a few weeks ago for the University of Illinois, a three-time Big Ten Player of the Year, walks onto the tour last week at their BMW Charity Pro-Am, wins in his debut, and is looking to go back-to-back with wins. He is tied for the lead at 12 under, along with Brandon Hagee, Kyle Jones, and Chan Kim. But Adrien Dumont de Chassert, that's fantastic. Sounds like he grew up in a castle.
Yeah, I was going to say. Sounds like he rode into the tournament on horseback.
Yeah. His caddy is in chainmail or something.
Big beard.
Yep. He's got a big old shield he's carrying with him.
Yeah, I like it.
All six rounds that he has played so far on the Korn Ferry Tour in the 60s. So he won last week in his professional debut, trying to join Ben Coles as the only players on the Korn Ferry Tour to win in their first two events. That was 2012. He did that. And so keep an eye there. Like we said, three-time Big Ten Conference Player of the Year. The only other guys that did that were Luke Donald, who did it playing at Northwestern, and Randy Lean at Indiana back in the 90s. So that's what's going on the Korn Ferry Tour. The LPGA Tour is doing their prep work. They're going to play back-to-back majors coming up here at the end of the month in early July with the LPGA event, and then they will be playing their Women's U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, which is going to be absolutely spectacular. But this week, they are out in Michigan, Blythefield Country Club in Belmont, Michigan, the Meyer LPGA Classic for Simply Give, and Japanese player Ayaka Furuhiri is your leader. She is 11 under par, but it is a very tight leaderboard. Leona Maguire, Yuju Kim, Carlotta Sagonda, Amy Yang, one back at 10 under. Lindsey Weaver-Wright, who Dirt and Sprague and I had the opportunity to play with in the Pro-Am when the women were out at the Oregon Golf Club. They had to move it from Columbia Edgewater. That was a few years back. Played with her. Her injury issues are over. She is having a very nice season. She's two back at 9 under, along with defending champion Jennifer Kupcho. But not a lot of American flags up on the board. This will be something maybe we'll discuss next week. But the big-name American players, the Korda sisters, Danielle Kang, Lexi Thompson, none of them have won yet this season. There's only been three tournaments won by American. Lilia Vu has won two. And so it's an interesting season so far for those names, especially in a Solheim Cup season where you're looking for them to be able to carry the flag. That will be in Spain in late September. Ashley Buhai, who won for the second time last week, right back in the mix at 8 under par as well. So a very international leaderboard. You can find them. They'll be on Golf Channel today starting at noon. You can catch that. And as we say, you can watch that and then flip over, because the leaders won't be teeing off in this 123rd U.S. Open until almost 3:30. But yeah, the story, Ricky Fowler, the first to shoot a 62 in a round at a U.S. Open in round one. That was matched shortly thereafter by Xander Schauffele. And then Ricky followed it up with a 2-under 68. He is at 10 under par, one shot clear of Wyndham Clark, the former University of Oregon Duck. He got his first win of his PGA Tour career earlier this year at the Wells Fargo. And that is a tough track too. The Green Mile there to finish, so a very sort of similar preparation. He is among the longest hitters, so the yardage at 7,400 yards not bugging him. He's kept it dialed in, and with Rory McIlroy, Xander Schauffele, Dustin Johnson, Scottie Scheffler, all in the top 10, along with Ricky Fowler, Wyndham Clark able to kind of fly under the radar. In a way that you normally wouldn't if you're playing in the final group on Saturday at a U.S. Open. Certainly everybody curious about him, his story. We'll hear from him, even though it is Father's Day. It is his mother who is his inspiration. We'll talk a little bit about that story. We'll hear from him coming up. Rory McIlroy's been solid, 65, 67. He is at 8 under par, tied with Xander Schauffele. Dustin Johnson, we mentioned, right in contention, quadruple bogey the second hole to start his second round, but he bounced back, got it to an even par 70 in round two. So he is right in the mix, 6 under, tied with Minwoo Lee. Sam Bennett, You remember as an amateur playing in the Masters earlier this year was quite the story, playing in the final groups at the Masters. He turned pro. The USGA changed their rule, so if he had qualified as an amateur, he's still able to stay qualified, even though he has turned pro now, starting his professional career. So that's nice to see. He is in the mix. He is tied at 5 under par with the likes of Scottie Scheffler. There are 29 players under par. Bryson DeChambeau, Victor Hovland, our boy Keith Mitchell, Andrew Putnam, a local player. They are in a group at 1 under. Tony Finau is at 3 under. Cameron Smith at 4 under. Brian Harman, after that great opening round, he had a tough go in round two. The guys that played in the afternoon in the second round found it a little bit more difficult when the sun came out. Things started to firm up, and it'll be very interesting to see how the course plays. We will talk about the course itself, LA Country Club, getting some scrutiny, but I think the players out there are saying, just like any course, and I think it goes, I think we're overlooking the testament of how good today's players are, how good the equipment is. And this is one of the things that is an ongoing discussion with USGA and managing distance, and are they going to roll back the golf ball and all of these sorts of things. They're just really good. Equipment is better. Technology develops. They can hit the ball, have more control of the golf ball, hitting it where they want to. Super wide fairways. So when they make and execute good shots, they're in position to make birdies. And how much they practice, how much more coaching they have, how much more information they have with their analytics and TrackMan stats and all of those sorts of things, if they can then incorporate it, digest it, and figure out how it works into their particular golf swings and putting strokes, they're able to take advantage of it in a way that players of Jack Nicklaus's era and Tom Watson's era simply weren't able to.
Yeah.
Okay. You look like you had something to say, like I was golf nerding out. But
golf nerded up. The only thing I've noticed that's changed has been the fact that the outfits themselves have gotten more kind of splashy. You know, I kind of dug myself down a U.S. Open.
Go back and look at some of Jack Nicklaus's gear back in the 70s. Andy North, you want to talk about some special gear.
In an effort to reach out.
They look like they were shopping at the same stores Jack Ramsey was back in the day when he was stalking the sidelines for the Trailblazers.
In an effort to reach out and understand more about the U.S. Open, I got spun down a Payne Stewart.
Payne was great all by himself because he went to the Knickers.
Yes.
But he had a deal with the NFL. He was one of the first ones. So his outfits were kind of, he wore a lot of Chicago Bears stuff. Mm-hmm. He would wear some New York Giants stuff. I think he would wear kind of based on wherever they were playing, he would do something.
Yeah.
Huge football fan.
Well, and I kind of got enthralled in the 99 US Open. And the
99. Oh, that was Payne.
Yeah, right. That was his last one before he died in the crash, and then
yeah, I'm trying
he
to remember.
And Phil went off in the playoff, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I kind of went down that wormhole, and I was like,
"There you go.
This is kind of exciting. I like this.
It is." Well, we might get some sort of similar finish here because the leaderboard is stacked. Let's hear from some of the leaders when we come back. It is U.S. Open week, Father's Day weekend. Again, happy Father's Day. Hope all the dads are getting out for a round sometime this weekend, either a little alone time or with the family. We will get ready because the U.S. Open that doesn't even start going off till 9:30. Those are the guys that just made the cut on the number, including John Rahm. Coverage at 10 a.m. on KGW8 will take you all the way till 8 p.m. So you don't have to flip around from figuring out how to log into Peacock to USA to NBC or any of that. It's all on Channel 8 today, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. We'll come back here from the leaders. This is Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, The Fan's going to be out and about next week. You can join The Fan at Widmer Brothers Brewing for our 2023 draft party at the Metropolitan Tavern this Thursday. We'll be there from noon to 7 p.m. Live editions of Danny and Dusty in primetime with Isaac and Soup, plus live from the podium coverage, the Trailblazers, and the draft. It's The Fan's draft party brought to you by Widmer Brothers. Hef, the original American Hefeweizen. So join us at the Metropolitan Tavern. That's 1021 Northeast Grand Avenue. It's The Fan's 2023 draft party with Widmer Brothers Brewing. And for more info, keep it here on The Fan Center in St. Following us, I'm sure you guys are going to enjoy the debate. Keep the pick, trade the pick. Scoot, Miller.
Zion. Let's go. I'm ready. I'm ready for the revolution.
You guys coming up at 9 o'clock with all of that fun stuff. I choose to wait till Thursday and just surprise me. I have maintained that their pick will not have as much value. It will have its highest value the minute the Blazers go on the clock at number three and the 5 minutes start ticking down. I think there will be some sort of ridiculous offer that was not on the table before that comes in on the phone to Joe Cronin. Whether or not he takes it or not, we'll see.
I think that ridiculous offer is Zion Williamson.
Well, if it is, yeah, Life will be interesting. I think it's going to be an exciting night. Hope you'll go out and join The Fan there at the Metropolitan Tavern over on Grand near the Rose Quarter. Should be a lot of fun. Okay. U.S. Open, I think it's been fantastic so far. I am not daunted by the fact that Ricky Fowler is 10 under. I think if Ricky can shoot two rounds of par 70 might be enough. I think this course is going to toughen up. It's supposed to get warmer. The wind's going to blow a little bit. The USGA is going to make these pin placements tougher. It was a brand new course. They didn't know what to expect. They didn't want to put those pins in extreme places on round one. The clouds hung around a little longer on Thursday than I think they expected. But we saw late afternoon on Friday what this course can be when it starts to firm up. The slopes of the green are going to be huge. You're going to see guys playing shots into holes, maybe having to bounce them up a little bit, a little more open championship-like. They're really going to be tested. We'll get to some of the pin placements later on. But the story right now is indeed Ricky Fowler looking for his first major. Some wondering a couple of years ago if it was over for him. There was some speculation. Maybe he'd take some money, go to the LIV Tour. If he just didn't have that edge that he had early in his career, it was 2014 when he had top five finishes in all four majors. People figured it was just a matter of time before he broke through and won one. He won the Players in 2015. Here we go. And then all of a sudden, things seem to just come apart with his game. Finds Butch Harmon, puts it back together. He's having a great year. He's helped out by the fact all those LIV guys allowed him to keep his tour card last year, and he's played his way back in. He talked a little bit after the round about being in a better spot with his game now than all the way back to that 14 and 15 seasons.
Yeah, 14 and 15 were very good. 14 with the top fives and all the majors. 15, I won multiple times with the Players. 18 being another solid year, but I would say I'm in a better position than any of those years. I really haven't, I feel like, played to my capabilities yet, and knowing what I've been able to salvage and still get some solid finishes and put myself in contention. I just feel like I'm getting older, so I'm more mature, but I do feel like I'm in a better position with my game now than I was back then.
So he's had 12 career 36-hole leads. He's 1-for-11 in converting them. That one was 2019, the WM Phoenix Open, which was the last tournament that he won. And he was asked, obviously, it looked pretty easy there in round one. He came back, bounced back in round two. What was the difference in the course between Thursday and Friday?
Kind of the only area, gave away some shots, you know, some long-range putts. Felt like things were... Greens might have been a little slower, and then there was areas where they're putting pins were in a little bit more slope or pitch, so going up some pretty steep areas, so it's tough to get yourself to hit it hard enough, and then that you obviously don't want to blow it by and have something that's, you know, downhill slider. So, you know, we'll try and clean some of that up. You know, golf course wise, it started to firm up. Greens started to firm up a little bit. I think, like I say, kind of the biggest difference, pins were on some more slope than yesterday. You know, tucked a little bit more. Par threes were back. And then the wind was blowing a bit more than what we had yesterday. So still a solid test. I mean, the birdies are out there if you put yourselves in the right position. But as you can see, bogeys are very easy to make.
And I think that's been the difference. Ricky's got the most birdies of anybody. He's made some bogeys as opposed to guys that are making a lot of pars and a few birdies here and there. And he's able to just keep playing. But he did mention L.A. Country Club starting to maybe get a little heat about not being what you would expect at a U.S. Open. He said it's not quite as easy as it looks out there.
It's not that easy out there. I mean, I know visually from, yes, I've made a lot of birdies and that out there. Until, you know, you've been on the grounds or been out there hitting shots, I mean, it's still a very hard test. Is it the hardest U.S. Open? No. I think it's a good, fair, hard test. Visually, you know, probably watching on TV and stuff, it probably doesn't do it justice. The fairways look, you know, very wide because, yes, the mode areas are wide, but where you actually have to hit it is very small. So the golf course is big and open, but plays very tight. And yeah, I mean, the greens, you can't see how much slope there is and how thick everything is around. And hit fairways and hit greens, yes, you can score well, but you get out of position and it's going to eat you up.
And we saw that from Dustin Johnson, who was looking in position to creep to the top of the leaderboard. His second round got derailed with a quad on number two, and he talked about overcoming that to finish back at even par.
You know, making a quad on number two, you know, definitely didn't get the day started off kind of, you know, how I envisioned it starting today, but to battle back and get it back to even par for the day, and, you know, I'm 6 under for the tournament, so still, right in the mix going into the weekend. So, yeah, definitely proud of the way that I came back and finished off the round.
And on Sprague in the Line yesterday with Durden Sprague, I said him finishing top five, you were getting some pretty good action. Probably got a little bit better after that quad, but he is tied for sixth. And again, driving it pretty accurately. They can all hit it sideways at any given time. We know that when they feel like they need to go for it. But having the veterans up there, I think they all now have a pretty good idea of where they can cut it loose and where they need to be cautious on certain drives and certain holes. The other big name that is up there trying to get that fifth major is Rory McIlroy. It was 2014, the last time he won a major. He has been 33rd starting a major now since his last win, the 2014 PGA. He too talked about defending LA Country Club as a worthy U.S. Open course.
I didn't see the scores being as low as they are. I think the, you know, the overcast conditions yesterday combined with that little bit of rain in the morning, I think the course just never got firm at all. You know, the conditions now, it's a little brighter, sunnier, a little bit of breeze. You know, it's got the potential to get, you know, a little firmer and faster over the next couple of days, which will, you know, will make the scores go up a little bit. So, you know, we'll see what it's like at the end of the week. Like, it's still early in the week. And yes, the course has played maybe a little easier than everyone thought it would, but wouldn't be surprised on Saturday, Sunday to see it bite back, which I, you know, going back to your question, I feel is what a US Open's all about. It, you know, it should be tough. It should be just as much of a mental grind out there as a physical one.
And he talked about the difference between the front nine and how this thing will finish up with three of the toughest closing holes on the back nine.
At least for me, there's quite a scoring discrepancy from the front nine to the back nine. Yeah, the front nine gives you some scoring opportunities and some wedges in your hand, a couple of par fives, sixth hole. And yeah, the back nine just is a lot tougher. You know, you've got a lot of, you know, those last three holes, 16, 17, 18 are playing tough, even if it is, you know, pretty benign conditions out there. So, you know, it feels like a sort of golf course where you try to make your score on the front and then try to hang on the back.
And so that'll be the test for a lot of these guys, especially. We'll see how the conditions are. The players at one under par will start going off around 1 o'clock this afternoon. The leaders at 3:30. And if the course comes up, the wind kicks in a little bit, the sun comes out, the marine layer goes away, should be a lot of fun. We'll talk about some of the pin placements. 15 is going to be the highlight today. That is the short par three right before the longest three-hole finish in U.S. Open history. There is a little sliver of the green that comes up to the very front, so it's going to be right around 80 yards, an 80-yard par three, but there is only about 8 yards depth of green where they will put the pin. And if the green firms up, it's going to be interesting to see where these guys have to hit it in order to get it to stay on the green, because there's a lot of danger, bunkers in the front, Barranca behind. You hit it in the wrong spot, it skips off. You could make 4 or 5 on an 80-yard par 3. Should be a lot of fun. When we come back, John Kawasa, who's the director of golf out at Pumpkin Ridge, going to join us. And as we're seeing guys having to play rescue shots out of trouble, Barranca under trees, from underneath a bridge, wherever the case may be, how do you work on those shots and practice those? Or what skills do you need to develop on the practice tee so that when you find yourself in trouble, you can rescue, save a par, or just a bogey when you're out there playing your rounds? As we make the turn, it's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Which new driver is best for your game? Who makes the best golf gear? Where should you take your next golf vacation? Which local course should you get to know better? This is the Business of Golf, every week on Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
8:34 here this morning. Golf of the Northwest back at you on this U.S. Open Father's Day weekend. But the Business of Golf right now takes us out to one of our favorite places, Pumpkin Ridge Golf Club. And we talk now to the Director of Golf Instruction, John Cuoso, proud alum of Boise State. He's a Bronco, has worked his way through golf courses, has been out at Astoria Golf and Country Club, the Teacher of the Year for the Oregon PGA in 2010, Golf Professional of the Year in 2018, and we are pleased to have him joining us now. Good morning. Conditions should be great for all the fathers out there at Pumpkin. You guys are getting ready, though, for a big event. You guys are hosting the 114th Oregon Amateur out at Witch Hollow. I imagine the course is dialed in, maybe U.S. Open-type conditions.
Good morning, Jason. You know, the golf course is absolutely spectacular. We're kind of hoping that the early week forecast fizzles a bit because they're calling for a little bit of moisture. But, you know, ever since about the 1st of May when the weather turned, both golf courses out here have just been in spectacular condition. And we've had a lot of the people playing practice rounds this week, and they're raving about the conditions. So we're ready to go from a golf course standpoint, and hopefully Mother Nature gives us some great competition weather.
Well, I think later in the week it well might get a little rain here or there, so hopefully you won't have to put too much moisture on it yourselves before things get going. But everybody's watching LA Country Club and the U.S. Open this week, and while we're seeing the guys at the top of the leaderboard play amazing, we have seen a number. I mean, Justin Thomas shooting 81 or something, and if you are offline, all over the place. You got 3.5-inch deep Bermuda rough. You got Barranca. You got sand waste areas. So all sorts of trouble to get into. And I'm like, okay, the average golfer can relate more to this than they can hitting it on the green on a 300-yard par three. So as you're directing instruction, I know you got some development camps coming up. Practicing rescue shots to save a score and to save a round, maybe even as important as just your regular swings and putts. What are some of the tips and things that you start to work on with players that they can take with them depending on what sort of trouble they find themselves in?
As you know, that's a great question. You know, my teaching philosophy with recreational golfers would be to get better from the hole backward, meaning, you know, we want to be really good putters, good chippers and pitchers near the green, and then really hone in on your skills from 120 yards and in, so that when you drive it in trouble, whether it's in deep rough or in the trees or whatever, you don't have to look for the hero shot. You, if you have that, you know, good game from 120 yards and in, there's usually a way to advance the ball up the fairway into that, what I call the red zone, and then take it from there. I've had lots of conversations with lots of junior golfers that bogeys are okay. But doubles and triples and quads and tens and 11s, they're not so great. And they make your score add up really quickly. So I think if people can, you know, play a little bit smarter, generally at my ladies clinics, I like to talk about, now I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I talk about micro and macro economics, where micro has a very finite view of what's going on and macro is the big picture. I think you want to put your macroeconomic hat on when you're in trouble, look around and see what's presented to you. You know, the kids today will call it panoramic view from their iPhones. So I think if you look around, you'll always be able to find a window and just not try to advance the ball too far when you're in trouble. And, you know, I think that's the smartest way to play when you've driven it into some either deep rough or maybe even a fairway bunker or into the middle of the woods.
Director of Golf John Cuoso, our guest here out of Pumpkin Ridge. So let's start with rough. We're seeing some of the rough on here. We saw Brooks. You know, you hit it sideways. You can't see his feet when he steps in there. It's up to his ankles. How do you assess one? You know what the golf ball. You know, if a buried lie. How can you assess maybe where the golf ball is? And then what's a good rule of thumb based on how deep it is to what you might be able to do with it, how far you can advance it?
That's a great question. You know, the recreational golfer's got to do things a lot different than the tour player. The tour players, you know, today, especially today's tour players, they're world-class athletes that are extremely strong and have, you know, a lot of their work in the gym is not only to hit the ball farther and be able to recover quicker, but it's injury prevention. So those guys, you know, working in the gym so hard, their wrists and forearms and elbows and shoulders are, you know, maybe conditioned a little bit better than the rest of us. So they can gouge a little bit more. You do see, you know, this week at the U.S. Open that they're going in with a lot of loft, meaning they've got, you know, sand wedges and wedges and nine irons. They're not going in with a hybrid or a long iron to gouge it out. But my best rule of thumb for most recreational golfers is never try to hook a ball that's in the rough. You always want to try to hit a cut shot or a slice, if you will. Because when you're trying to hook the ball and it's deep or rough, you know, the grass wants to wrap itself around that hosel and shut the face down. And that's generally when they don't advance it much. So if you can get a lofted club in your hands, you know, and it doesn't have to be a wedge or a nine iron. It could be maybe a seven iron, but you've got a plan. You're only going to hit it. You're going to hit a little bit shorter than you normally would, but you're going to want to have a slicing motion so that blade can slice through the grass and get the ball out of that deep stuff.
Now, my home course is out at Forest Hills in Cornelius. And so if you get off of the fairway, most likely you're going to be under a tree. A lot of trees out at Pumpkin Ridge, something in the northwest. So obviously sometimes you might have line of sight back to the fairway or the green, but you've got to keep it low. So when you're wanting to hit something that's a low trajectory shot, whether it's with maybe a hybrid or an iron, what do you need to adjust in your normal setup and grip so that you can keep that trajectory low and not clip a branch, you know, 5 yards in front of you?
Again, you know, kind of back to the basis of how I look at, you know, when you're in trouble, don't try to advance it too far. But then in setup, you're going to move the ball back in your stance a bit. I like to tell people to grip down. A lot of times, you know, the closer you are to your work, the easier it is to do. So grip down, and I like a much firmer grip so that you can kind of, so you have a better control of the club face. And then it's, you know, make sure that at impact that the handle is slightly ahead of the club head, not getting behind the club head where you're going to add loft and the ball may want to shoot up. But, you know, the biggest thing is that, you want a controlled swing with a controlled club face, and that will get the ball extracted from a bad lie. And, you know, with the handle just forward of the face, that will alter trajectory, hopefully low enough that you can get out from underneath the limbs and you're back in play.
And then around the greens, you know, we'll see, obviously, you know, bunker play. Some of these are deep, deep bunkers. So it's, you know, you got to go in there full swing and basically try to hit it straight up in the air. But we see this this fluffy Bermuda grass. So if people are going other places, we don't see a lot of it here in the Northwest. But how do you assess maybe the different little chips around a green, what you're trying to accomplish, and what should you be aiming at based on, you know, how the green complex is set up?
You know, most of those shots are situational, and we're extremely fortunate here in the Northwest that we don't have to deal with Bermuda because it is a nasty grass to try to pitch and chip out of. I believe that, you know, here in the Northwest, we can get some thick, rough, but the ball doesn't generally plummet to the bottom where you can't even see it. So, you know, the best thing I think you can do out of Bermuda especially near the green where you've got a lot of slope on those greens at LA Country Club, is you're going to have to play most of those shots like a bunker shot. So you're going to try to enter the grass, you know, a ball width or two behind the ball, and then keep the club head moving through the turf. If the club head gets stopped, then the face, you lose control of the face, and, you know, then you're at the mercy of whatever the golf gods want to do to you. So I think that, again, like the shot from under the trees, we want the handle slightly forward, maybe open the club face, you know, and the how much we open the club face will depend on how far we're trying to hit the ball. I did watch a shot yesterday, and Rory McIlroy went right underneath one, and the ball never moved. The next one, he caught a little bit of ball, and, you know, he sent it 15, 18 feet past the hole. So, you know, there's no recipe for trying to get, you know, be really good out of that stuff, except for just go out and practice and experiment and, you know, try to generate shots that you feel comfortable hitting. But I recommend to everybody that, you know, you use your imagination when you're working on your short game, and at Forest Hills here at Pumpkin Ridge and all the Northwest golf courses, you can find some rough to practice out of and experiment. You know, I try to teach people to never hit a shot that you haven't practiced. So get out and experiment a little bit in the rough and see what you can do. You know, use a sand wedge, use different clubs to see which club's the best for you. And that's the simple recipe, is just to get out and give it a try.
And that's the best case. I know most of the courses in the area have some short practice areas where there's a bunker, there's some rough around a green, so should not be difficult. Sometimes they're tucked away and hidden. You might have to ask in the pro shop where it is. John Cuoso, our guest director of golf at Pumpkin Ridge Golf Club. I know you are working with Chuck DeSilva as well with some player development programs out there at Pumpkin Ridge. What do you guys have cooking this summer?
Well, Chuck is our new director of player development, and we're so happy to have him here. He's just been killing it with Operation 36. He's got all kinds of he's been very successful. We've got, I don't know, he must have 8 or 10 classes of gals playing in the Operation 36 classes. He's got some junior Operation 36 classes starting the first week of July. So, you know, contact Chuck at cdesilva@pumpkinridge.com, and he'll respond and get you signed up for a player development class. And for those who aren't familiar with Operation 36, it's a fantastic program that teaches scoring, basically. The goal is to shoot 36 for 9 holes, and Operation 36 starts at 25 yards, and then you work your way back to 50, then 100, and so on and so forth. But your goal is to shoot 36 for that 9 holes. The program, the curriculum is all around in the beginning, that 25 yard scoring area. And then he has certain test days that you come out, and if you shoot your 36 or better, then you move back to a little longer yardage. The curriculum then changes a bit. And the thing I love about it, and what Chuck is so great at, is you see all the folks playing with a lot of different clubs, even from 25 yards. You see some putters, you see hybrids, you see fairway woods, you see 7s and 8 irons, and then you obviously see some wedge shots as well. But he's teaching people to have a very diverse portfolio from close to the green, which I think is absolutely awesome. And for those of you who don't know Chuck, maybe the nicest guy on the face of the earth. So just an outstanding guy, and I know everybody will have a lot of fun if they come out and see him for Operation 36.
No problem. You can find it. Pumpkinridge.com is the website. And then you can find Chuck and the programs out there, as well as John Cuoso. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes for us. Have a great time with the 114th Oregon Amateur out there at Witch Hollow next week. We hope the weather cooperates for you, and we look forward to catching up with you soon.
All right, Jason, thanks for having me on. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. John Cuoso, Director of Golf out at Pumpkin Ridge. Also, from our friends there at the PGA, Pacific Northwest PGA, on Tuesday out at Langdon, there will be 46 Pacific Northwest PGA golf professionals helping support the Boys and Girls Club of Portland. They're having a pro-am. In the last 5 years, this event has raised nearly $1.5 million for the community's most underserved youth. And they're excited to be a role in that. They will be out at Langdon getting the course. They'll be prepping it for us because, of course, the Fan Golf Classic coming up Tuesday, June 27th. We will all be out there at some point. I'll probably be hitting wedges over on number 6. I got to get that dialed in for people, give you an extra tee shot. So, once again, everybody's looking forward to it. Let's take our final break, come back a little bit on Wyndham Clark, Golf Channel right now with a little feature on him losing his mom while he was at Oklahoma State and the inspiration that she still is for him as he is in pursuit of his first major championship, just one off the lead. This is Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
This is Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Jason Swigart here wrapping it up before we turn it over to Luke and Will with Center and Saint. A lot of Blazer draft discussions for you for 2 hours. Of course, we mentioned there coming up on Thursday. Please join us out at Metropolitan Tavern for our 2023 draft party. Sponsored by our friends with Widmer Brothers Brewing. Widmer Brothers Hef, the original American Hefeweizen. Danny, Dusty, Isaac, and Suk will be out there from noon to 7 p.m. To find out the future of the Blazers with that number 3 pick. Do they keep it? Who do they pick? Who's left? Or do they move it between now and then or on draft night? So it should be lots and lots of fun. Stay tuned for more details coming up this week. But it is U.S. Open week. Ricky Fowler is your leader, 10 under par. He'll be in the final group with former Oregon Duck Wyndham Clark, 9 under, 64-67. He continues to be one of the longest hitters on tour. He transferred to Oregon for his senior year after 3 years at Oklahoma State. So he and Ricky will have lots to discuss. That'll be a pretty comfortable pairing, I think, for those two. Pretty easygoing. Might be a little bit of a conversation there for them, but certainly comfortable for them. But Wyndham himself got his first PGA Tour victory earlier this year at Wells Fargo from Quail Hollow out there in the Charlotte area. And that should serve him well. But very, very interesting story. We have a clip from him. Actually, I'm looking at Will. Even though it is Father's Day weekend, his big inspiration in his life was his mother, who he lost while he was at Oklahoma State due to breast cancer. And she, though, is very, very much with him this week.
I was walking down yesterday and I kind of just was smiling as I was playing well. And I go, man, I wish you could be here, Mom, because it's a dream come true to be doing this at the highest level in front of, you know, friends and family that are out here. And so, yeah, I mean, I wish she could be here, but I know she's proud of me and she's made a huge impact on my life. And, you know, I am who I am today because of her. She was kind of my rock and my always there supporter. And so when things were tough or when things were going great, she was always there to keep me grounded and either bring me up or keep the high going. So, yeah, I mean, sorry, I'm getting a little choked up, but she's everything, and I miss her, and everything I do out here is a lot for her. So
there you go, and I think that's having that grounded, having be able to think of her, that will help him if he's, you know, got a bad hole. There are going to be bad holes out there, and I think that's the thing. Ricky's made a bunch of bogeys, but he keeps making birdies. He keeps bouncing back. Dustin Johnson, after the quad on 2, he came right back on number 3 with a birdie. That will be the key today, is playing this thing hole by hole. You know, guys that won, you're not working on any mechanical things or whatever at that point. But you look at Wyndham Clark, he is six so far in driving distance through two rounds, 325 yards, so he's got plenty in the bag there. His shots gained tee to green, he overall is eighth. The area is the approach to the green, so as long as he can figure out how to find the greens and not get himself into trouble on the approaches, because you're looking at the pin sheet, which is up there. If you follow U.S. Open Golf or the USGA, they've got the pin sheet listed. They're all tucked. Nothing is in the middle of the green. Half of them are up in the front part of greens, mostly where there is a lot of bunkers and trouble. It'll be interesting to see. The par 3 15th is going to be the signature hole today. They have put that pin in the very front sliver of that green. It's going to play at about 80 yards. Which most of these guys, that is a sand wedge, a knockdown sand wedge. But if the greens get firm, can they do it and take the spin off of it so it just lands dead? That's going to be the trick for them. Again, the players under par will go off around 1 o'clock. The leaders at 3:30. KGW8 has the entire round. Ricky Fowler or Wyndham Clark would be a super popular champion, but you've got Rory McIlroy, Xander Schauffele, who we haven't even talked about, Dustin Johnson, Scottie Scheffler, all in the mix, all within five shots of the lead. Should be a great, great weekend. Happy Father's Day once again to all the dads out there. Hope you're getting around in with your family, and we will talk to you next week. We'll see who pulls this thing off, who has a great story to tell. And we will talk to you next week. Center and Sink coming up next. Thanks again to John Cuoso from Pumpkin Ridge. Thanks to Will behind the glass. I'm Jason. Hit him straight.
You know how easy I am.
Yeah, I know.
Features in Europe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.